Lord, we're very thankful that you are God and you are interested in each one of us.
主，我们感恩您是神，你也对我们每个人感兴趣。
It's amazing for us to realize that the God who made the stars is more interested in each one of our hearts than even in the stars themselves.
主啊，我们真的觉得很惊奇啊，那个创造了天上所有的星星的神，竟然对我们每个人的心比星星更感兴趣。
So we pray that you will speak to us tonight through the word of God.
主啊，我们祈求您今天借着您的话对我们说话。
We pray that you will give us understanding, but that you will give us responsive hearts, that we might not just understand, but that we might rejoice and love the God who made us and serve him with zeal.
主啊，我们求您让我们能够明白圣经，而且不但能够明白，给我们一颗回应的心，让我们能够懂你，也爱你，也愿意带着喜乐的心服侍你。
So with hearts of thankfulness, we present ourselves to you again this evening. Take us up, teach us, lead us, and cause us to serve you, we ask in Jesus' name.
主啊，我们今天晚上再次的把我们交在您的面前，求您教导我们，引导我们，也使我们能够服侍您，奉耶稣的名祷告。
And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
奉耶稣的名祷告 ，Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good to see everybody tonight.
很高兴看到大家每一位啊。
Well, good morning to those who are in China. Good evening to those here in North America or Vancouver specifically.
像在中国大陆的问大家早上好，像在。温哥华的北美的温哥华的祝大家晚上好。
We've been studying the church, over the past number of weeks.
我们在过去的很多周里面啊，很多星期里面都一直在学习教会。
We've looked at the church universal, and we're looked at the church local.
我们学习了普世教会，也学习了地方教会。
Now, we've looked at church leadership, we have looked at the priesthood of believers, we've looked recently at the finances that, of the church.
我们学习过教会的长老层，也学习过每个信徒在教会里的祭司的职分，我们最上周呢还学习了教会的财务管理。
Now, for the next few weeks,We'd like to look at a very important subject, but that is little understood.
我们在接下去的几个星期呢，要学习一个教会的一个方面，是被众人所理解的最少的一个方面。
That is the roles of men and women in the church.
那就是男人和女人分别在这教会里的角色是什么？
God is sovereign.
神是掌权的。
And he has given Christ to be the head of all things to the church.
那他把这个权柄呢都给了耶稣，耶稣是教会的头。
We read that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, verse 23.
一章的二十二和二十三节读到。
Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 reads, And he, God the Father, put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
又将万有伏在他的脚下，使他为教会做万有之首。教会是他的身体，是那充满万有者所充满的。
Now, most Christians will acknowledge the headship of Christ in their individual lives.
那绝大部分的基督徒呢，都承认在他们个人的基督徒生活中呢，耶稣是他们的头，这个他们承认。
we believe that he is the Lord of all and is our head individually.
我们承认耶稣是一切的主，那他也是我们的元首，是我们每一个人的头。
And we can also easily understand that he is the head of the universal church, looked at all believers of all times, complete, the complete body of Christ.
我们也很容易理解啊，耶稣是这个普世教会的头，普世教会就是历世历代世界各地所有的基督徒组成的这个基督的身体，我们能理解他是普世教会的元首。
But the Lord Jesus is also the head of the local church.
那同时呢，耶稣基督也是每一个地方教会的头。
And as head, he directs everything in the local church.
那他既然是头呢，他就主导了地方教会的所有的事情，每一件事。
And what we want to look at in the next few weeks is to explore how headship is demonstrated through the roles of men and women in the church.
那我们接下去的几个星期呢，就来学习这个权柄的这个次序啊，是怎么在这个教会里面男人和女人的不同的角色当中去实践的。
Now, the Bible is God's great love story.
圣经呢是神的一个伟大的爱情故事。
It begins with the creation of the first man and his bride on earth.
他一开始呢讲的就是在地上的一个人和他的新娘。
And the Bible ends with the second man, the Lord from heaven, with his heavenly bride.
然后这个圣经的结束呢是以第二个人，就是末后的亚当，就是耶稣以及和他天上的新娘。
And through the successive, or through the historical ages and all the dispensations of the Old Testament, this love story moves towards God the Father's central purpose in creation.
那么经过了这个旧约的各个时代历史时代，就最后就达到了天父创造的那个最终的那个目的。
And that central purpose, he has other purposes, but that central purpose is that he might obtain a bride for his beloved son.
那主呢天父呢有很多的旨意，他的核心旨意是什么呢？就是为他的圣子啊耶稣基督娶一个新娘。
When we come to the New Testament, it opens with the Gospels.
当我们看新约的时候呢，最初几卷书就是福音书。
And they record the Son of God coming down from heaven to earth.
这福音书呢，记载了就是神的圣子他从天上来到地上。
And then we see that in love for his bride, the church,He voluntarily lays his life down to redeem her.
那在他对教会，就是他的新娘，对他的教会，也就是新娘的爱中呢，他舍了自己的生命，死在哥哥他的十字架上。
And he was raised then from the dead by the glory of the Father, and is now seated on the throne with his Father in glory.
然后三天以后呢，他在父的荣耀中呢从死里复活，现在呢他在坐在父神的右边，坐在荣耀里。
And now in this age which is called the age of grace, the Son receives individuals who receive him.
那现在我们所处的这个目前的这个恩典时代呢，主耶稣呢就圣子他接受每一个凡接受他的人。
And these saved ones,They are added to his body, the bride of Christ.
那每一个得救的人呢，都被加到他的身体里，也就是他的新娘教会里面了。
Now the book of Acts, goes on and tells the story of how the infant church developed.
那使徒行传呢就告诉我们这个教会呢怎么样从一个婴儿时期一点点成长起来的。
And throughout the book of Acts, you see the Lord is in heaven, the head is in heaven and working with them.
那整个使徒行传里面我们都看到这教会的头呢就是他的元首呢是在天上但是他一直在和地上的教会一起同工。
And then the letters to the churches, the letters of the apostles, they, through the Holy Spirit, they record all the necessary instructions to teach and comfort and guide believers on their pilgrim walk on earth.
使徒行传后面呢就是使徒们写的书信了。书信里面呢包括了一切圣徒们基督徒们在这地上走着朝圣的路的时候所需要的一切教导也好安慰也好警告也好劝勉也好都在这些书信里面了。
And then of course you finish with the book of Revelation, which is the completion of all things, and we see the bride ruling over the earth with Christ in heaven.
那最后一卷书呢就是启示录启示录里面的一切都到了结局我们可以看到在终结的时候呢就是基督的新娘就和基督一起统治全地
But we're still in time We're still living on earth And we need help and guidance In order to know how we can live on the earth
但是我们现在呢还是在时空里面我们也是在这地上生活我们需要主呢带领我们引导我们让我们知道如何在这地上生活。
The scriptures themselves they're the only safe guide, to know the mind of the Lord and to be able to please him in all things.
那么圣经呢是唯一一个安全的引导啊让我们能够明白主的心意是神的心意是怎样的以及我们怎样才能使他喜悦。
And it is to the scriptures that we're going to turn to find out what God's plan is for men and women in the church.
所以当我们想要知道在教会里面男人和女人他分别是什么样的角色的时候呢我们还是要回到圣经里面去查考。
But first up, I'd like to remind our hearts concerning the scriptures themselves.
那首先呢提到圣经本身呢我想要提醒大家。
We need to remind ourselves about the authority and the sufficiency of the scriptures.
那就是圣经呢是绝对权威的也是绝对完整的足够的。
There's so much confusion in the world today, about men and women's roles in the church.
但是世界上呢关于这个教会里面男人和女人的角色呢有很多错误的认识。
And there are many contradictory voices claiming to be the truth.
还有很多呢彼此都相互矛盾的声音他们都说自己是真理。
Now this is nothing new.
这个其实不是什么新鲜事。
In the days of the apostles, the church faced similar controversies.
因为在早在使徒行传的时候使徒们就面对这样的反对的敌对的声音。
And that especially among the newly saved Gentiles.
那特别是这个刚信主的这个外邦人呢。
And the apostle himself wrote letters to 7 different Gentile churches in order to correct various errors in their doctrine and their practices.
那使徒保罗呢就写给七个教会都写了这个书信啊就是为了纠正他们的一些教育上的错误。
And in the Corinthian assembly, there were some that were actually denying the authority of Paul.
在哥林多教会呢他们甚至要否定这个保罗的使徒的这个权柄。
And people do that today. They attempt that today in order to justify unbiblical practices.
那今天的人呢也是这样做他们也是否定使徒的权柄为的是使他们这些不合圣经的说法呢能够看起来是对的他为的是自己的说法能站得住脚。
So before we get into our subject, I'd like to just review the scriptural foundation of our faith and our practice.
那我们进入我们今天的话题之前呢，我们先来看看我们这个在基于圣经的这个信心的根基啊。
First of all, I'd like to look at the subject of the inerrancy of scripture. That is, scripture is without error.
首先呢，我们来看圣经是完全无误的这个观点。
The Bible is God's authoritative word.
那圣经呢是神他就是认定是真实的。
Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16.
3章16节。
And we read in that the opening phrase, all scripture is given by inspiration of God.
我们看16节的第一句话哈，圣经都是神所默示的。
That is, it's God breathed.
这个默示呢就是神呼出的意思。
As God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul,So God has breathed into the scriptures, so that it is a living word.
那就像当时神往亚当的鼻子里吹了一口气，亚当就成了有灵的活人一样。所以神呢呼出这个圣经的话语呢，这个话语就变成了永活的话语。
So, therefore, by definition, there can be no errors or contradictions in the whole of the original scriptures.
所以按照这个定义呢，就是这个圣经原文呢，它是不可能有错误，也不可能有自相矛盾的地方的。
For God is true, He's perfect in knowledge, and He cannot deny Himself.
因为神呢，他是正确真实的，他也是不能否定自己的，他是完全的。
And as the Lord Jesus Himself said in John 10:35, the Scriptures cannot be broken.
就像主耶稣自己在约翰福音十章的三十五节说呢，他说神的话是不能废去的。
So the first thing is the bedrock, we might say, the foundation of our faith and practice is based upon a scripture that has no errors.
所以呢，我们在信心和实践当中的这个基石啊，使我们这个信心是确实的，这个基石就是圣经是没有错误的。
The second point is that the scriptures are sufficient.
那第二点呢，就是圣经是足够的。
Again, Second Timothy chapter 3:16, reading on in that verse.
我们还是看这节经文啊，提摩太后书的三章十六节。
All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
圣经都是神所默示的，于教训、督责、使人归正、教导人学义都是有益的，叫属神的人得以完全，预备行各样的善事。
That is, God's word is all sufficient. It's able to meet every need in the life and the practice of the church.
那这句话就告诉我们在教会的生活中，在教会的实践当中呢，所有的需要圣经都可以得到满足。
And it should meet the needs for all time in every country.Every culture and in all the circumstances of living that we might encounter.
也就是说在历世历代在每一个国家每一个文化当中在我们生活场景中能碰到的所有的环境条件都是足够的都够用。
However, we need to have a warning here because a careful study of the word is required.
这里面也提醒我们说这个仔细的查考圣经呢是必须的。
If we just pull random kind of proof texts completely out of their context to prove some predetermined position and ignore the plain teaching of other passages. That's what Peter calls twisting the scriptures.
这个警告是什么呢？就是我们不能断章取义的离开上下文，把其中的一节经文拿出来，用来支持我们已经预先想要就预先已经有的一个观点了。那这个呢是不做法是不正确的，是彼得说的，就是曲解了神的话。
Another warning is that we should never ignore scriptures that we don't like or don't fit into our predetermined doctrine.
那还有一个注意的点呢，就是我们不能不喜欢那种不喜欢那个我们听上去不怎么爱听的那种经文。
We must study all the scripture diligently.
所有的圣经的话语我们都要仔细的查考。
And keep an open mind and allow all of the scriptures to speak for themselves.
要使我们的心敞开，要让圣经的话自己对我们说话，让他们自己解释自己。
When God gave Moses the instructions to build the tabernacle so that he might dwell among his people, he added a warning.
还记得在主耶稣给摩西指示，告诉他怎么样建圣殿，就是将来神要住在的那个帐幕当中的时候，他给了摩西一个警告。
He warned Moses that he was to build everything according to the pattern showed to him on the mount.
这个警告呢，就是告诉摩西要完全的一模一样的按照他在山上所从神里那里得到的指示的那个样式去造这个会幕。
Nothing was left for man's inventions or his imagination.
没有任何的余地啊，留给人自己去想象，自己去创造的。
God has also given, through the apostles, all the instructions needed to build the true temple of the Holy Spirit. That is the present dwelling place of God, which is his church.
那个地上的那个有形的帐幕是这样。那现在当我们建立这个真正的在天上的这个帐幕的时候呢，圣经也给我们足够的指示，让我们可以照着去做。
So then, that's the sufficiency. We should look to the scriptures for the answers to our questions.
那这个呢，就是我们说的第二点，就是圣经是足够的，我们要到圣经里面去寻找一切问题的答案。
So we've looked then at the inerrancy or the scripture that has no error, perfect. We've looked at the sufficiency of scripture.Now we want to look at the authority of scripture.
我们前面第一点讲的圣经是无误的，就是它是没有错误的。第二点呢，是圣经是足够的，里面有一切问题的答案。第三点呢，就是圣经是权威，是权柄。
Here's the test.
这样一个测试。
We must approach God's word reverently and obediently.
我们应该带着敬畏和顺服的心来去看神的话语。
It's one thing to know the truth, it's another to act upon the truth.
那知道真理是一回事，能够按照真理去行动又是另外一回事。
And the truth, it's hidden from the proud and is revealed to those of simple, obedient faith.
那真理呢，像那些骄傲的人就隐藏起来，像那些单纯的、顺服的、谦卑的心呢，就启示出来。
If we believe that God's word is sufficient and we're willing to obey, then we can be confident and joyful going forward, knowing we are in His will.
那如果我们相信圣经是足够的，是无误的话呢，我们就会很愿意、很舒服的去接受圣经的指导。
Resisting or doubting any portion of his word and relying on our own understanding is only going to result in confusion concerning our roles in the church and in the world.
那如果拒绝神启示的真理呢，一味的要按照自己的理解去做呢，那就一定会在我们的实践当中，在生活当中造成一些困惑。
So a meek and humble spirit is needed to receive and act on this truth, especially the roles of men and women.
嗯，所以一个柔和谦卑的心啊，在领受这真理和以及照着真理去实践方面是非常重要的，特别是在男人和女人在教会里面的这个角色这个方面呢是格外重要的。
Some say that the Bible is outdated or not relevant, and the old traditions have been replaced by modern ideas.
嗯，那有人说呢，这个圣经有的教导呢已经过时了，那是针对。当时的时代的，现在这个现在的时代呢，已经不适用了。
James quotes a proverb in the context of compromising with the world and its ways.
嗯，雅各书里面有这样一句经文啊，它是用来讲，就是向这个世界妥协的。
James chapter 4 verse 6, and I'll quote it. We don't need to turn to it, but you can write it down.For your notes.
雅各书的四章六节
says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble.
神阻挡骄傲的人，赐恩给谦卑的人。
So great grace is needed to resist popular trends and humbly obey God's word.
就是我们需要神极大的恩典啊，让我们能够去抵挡这个世界的那个骄傲的力量，让我们能够始终保持谦卑，需要神给我们极大的恩典。
Humility is the true path to glory.
那谦卑呢是真正能够进到这个荣耀里面的正确的道路。
The Lord Jesus is our great example.
主耶稣就是我们最伟大的榜样。
We need only to follow.The footsteps of our incarnate Lord on his path of obedience from the manger to his Father's throne.
我们呢就需要完全的紧紧的跟随主的脚步啊，就是他从这个马槽一直到父的荣耀的宝座上的这一条路。
Now the relationship between men and women, we're going to study that closely from the scripture, looking at what scripture says.
所以现在我们来开始讲我们这个话题，就是男人和女人之间的关系。那我们要紧紧的去依靠圣经啊，严格的按照圣经来学的教导来学习。
Now, Paul speaks of the marriage relationship as a type of Christ and the church, which he calls a great mystery.
保罗呢是把基督和教会的关系呢比喻成夫妻之间的关系，他说这是极大的奥秘。
And it's this mystery today that we're going to explore in the time remaining.
我们今天剩下的时间呢就要把这个奥秘给解开来。
A mystery in scripture is a previously hidden truth which has been divinely revealed in the New Testament.
这里面说的圣经里面说的奥秘啊，是说在旧约里面是被隐藏的，但在新约里面呢是被神启示出来的真理。
The revelation of the church is one of a number of mysteries revealed by the apostle Paul, which he calls himself a steward or caretaker of the mysteries of God.
那这些奥秘其中一个呢就是教会的真理，这个是使徒保罗在神的启示下呢把他给讲启示出来的。那保罗呢管自己也叫做神奥秘式的管家。
That's, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1.
这就是哥林多前书的四章一节。
Paul in this earlier section has been talking about the wisdom of the world, which is foolishness with God and so on.
保罗在这里讲的呢就是这个世界的智慧啊，在神看来是愚拙的等等。
But the wisdom of God has been revealed, those mysteries, have been revealed in the mysteries in the New Testament.
但是神的智慧呢却把这些奥秘是在新约里面把它启示出来了。
And Paul was a steward or a caretaker. He was a servant to open up those mysteries to the church.
那保罗呢就是这个神奥秘式的 管家之一啊，或者说他是看管照顾这些奥秘士兵把他启示出来的这个人。
And he says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards or caretakers of the mysteries of God.
第一节，人应当以我们为基督的执事，为神奥秘士的管家。
And writing to the Ephesians, in chapter 3, verse
5. 以弗所书的三章五节。
He explains that the truth of the church was not known to the Old Testament saints and prophets.
他在这里解释呢，就是关于教会的真理啊，在旧约的时候是没有向旧约的先知启示出来的。
In verse 5, he talks about the mystery of Christ in verse 4. But in verse 5, he says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets.
他这里提到的是基督的奥秘啊，在第四节，我们读四五节，你们念了就能晓得我深知基督的奥秘。这奥秘在以前的世代没有叫人知道，像如今借着圣灵启示他的众使徒和先知一样。
And that particular mystery was that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel.
那这个奥秘是什么呢？就是第六节说的，这奥秘就是外邦人在基督耶稣里借着福音得以同为后嗣，同为一体，同盟应许。
He's referring back to chapter 2 where he talks about Jew and Gentile being formed into one body.
那他这里面提到呢，就是他在二章里刚刚讲完的，就是犹太人和外邦人在基督里合为一体了。
And he continues in this same chapter, verses 8 to 11.
然后他在这同一章里面，就三章啊，在第八到第十一节继续讲这个奥秘。
And he states that it was his great privilege to be able to preach this mystery and make it known.
然后他认为呢，能把这些奥秘事传讲出来，使众人都知道呢，是他极大的荣幸。
And to me, he says, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
从第八节读到第十一节，我本来比众圣徒中最小的还小，然而他还赐我这恩典，叫我把基督那测不透的丰富传给外邦人，又使众人都明白这历代以来隐藏在创造万物之神里的奥秘是如何安排的，为要借着教会使天上执政的掌权的现在得知神百般的智慧，这是照神从万事以前在我们主基督耶稣里所定的旨意。
Now this mystery of Christ and the church is something completely new.
这个在教会就是基督耶稣的这个奥秘呢，是一个全新的东西。
And not only thatBut it was something that God had determined in his eternal counsels before time began.
而且呢，他这个是在还没有时间以前，在永恒当中呢，神就预先定下他的旨意的。
And so the church is an entirely new creation, and it was formed on the day of Pentecost and made up of both Jew and Gentile.
所以教会呢是完全一个新的被造物，它呢就是从五旬节开始才开始有的，它是同时由外邦人和犹太人共同组成的。
It's known as the body of Christ, And both the origin and destiny of the church is completely distinct from Israel.
这个教会呢就是基督的身体，这个我们都知道，而且它从起头，它的起源以及它的终局啊，终结局，它都是和以色列不一样的。
So the church was chosen in Christ in eternity past.
那教会呢是在永恒的过去呢就被拣选了。
Israel, on the other hand, was chosen in Abraham after time began.
但是以色列这个民族呢是在有了时空以后在亚伯拉罕当中借着亚伯拉罕这个人被拣选的。
Now the church has a heavenly destiny and is sharing the most
So Eric, you're frozen. Eric, you are frozen.
Can you hear me?
Not really, no.
No. Oh, okay.
You told us that the church had a heavenly destiny. And then you froze.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I'll continue then, shall I?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. But I do apologize.
还跟大家道歉。
The church, it has a heavenly destiny and it shares the most intimate relationship possible. With Christ.
那教会呢它是一个属天的结局，它和基督之间的这个关系是没有其他东西可以比拟的那么亲近，是最亲密的关系。
Now after the consummation of her marriage to the Lamb, she as his wife is going to rule and reign with him over the earth.
那当羔羊和他的新娘的这个结婚仪式举行完了以后呢，他们会一起回到地上来统治。
On the other hand, the kingdom promises which were given to Israel, through Abraham, and expanded by the prophets of the Old Testament, they are national. They related to the earth and will be later literally fulfilled in the future millennial reign of Christ when he returns to the earth.
那借着亚伯拉罕呢神给的这个给亚伯拉罕的应许，以及在亚伯拉罕之后旧约所有的先知在不断扩展的确认的这个给以色列的应许呢，将来要在千禧年里面作为一个国度完全的应验，是在这个主耶稣再回到地上统治以后应验的。
So in describing the church and the relationship with Christ, the love of Christ for the church is a fulfillment of the heart of God wanting to express himself.
所以要为了描述这个耶稣和教会之间的关系啊，我们可以这么理解，就是它是神的心意的这个满足啊，就是能够就是这个关系能够使神更加的满足。
This infinitely close relationship is pictured for us on the day when God created our first parents.
那这个基督和教会之间的亲密关系啊，它是用一个图表，就是一个预表来表述的。这个预表呢，就是创造我们的第一对祖先亚当和夏娃的时候呢，预表出来的。
Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2.
我们翻到创世纪的二章。
verses 23 and 24.
23和24节。
And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife and they shall become one flesh.
23和24节，那人说，这是我骨中的骨，肉中的肉，可以称她为女人，因为她是从男人身上取出来的。因此人要离开父母与妻子联合，二人成为一体。
So out of one, he makes two.
That again,
yeah. Out of one, he makes two, sorry. Oh,
也就是说他从一里面造出了二。
That again, as they are joined together as husband and wife, they may be one together and complete each other.
然后呢这个二呢就是这两个人呢再合为一又他就二又合为了一而且呢他使彼此都变得更加的完全。
Now the creation of Adam and Eve is used by Paul as an illustration of the great truth of Christ and the church.
那么创造亚当和夏娃这第一对男女呢用就保罗就用他来比喻这个基督和教会之间的关系。
Again, Ephesians chapter 5.
我们再回到以弗所书的五章。
And verse 30.
Oh. Yeah.
For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
从30节读到32节，因此我们是他身上的肢体，在骨卷在此有，就是他的骨，他的肉。为这个缘故，人要离开父母，与妻子联合，二人成为一体。这是极大的奥秘，但我是指着基督和教会说的。
It's this picture of the...Adam and Eve in the garden as a type of Christ and the church is what we'd like to explore for the rest of our time this evening.
那么在伊甸园里面亚当和夏娃啊他们这两个人呢就预表了基督和教会我们接下去的时间呢就全部用来解释这个。
Now I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
我们看看哥林多前书的11章。
1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse
2.
2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is man.Is God.
二节三节，我称赞你们，因你们凡事纪念我，又坚守我所传给你们的。我愿意你们知道，基督是个人的头，男人是女人的头，神是基督的头。
Now the Corinthian assembly, they had problems either understanding or obeying a headship. And the effect in the assembly was confusion of roles within theCorinthian assembly.
那哥林多教会呢他们有一个问题呢就是他们要不是就是不明白或者呢明白了或者不愿意顺服就是这个教会里面的权柄次序所以造成了很多的困惑很多的混乱。
Now previously, Paul had taught them when he had spent time among them. He had spent 6 months among them and had taught them this truth.
在以前呢保罗和哥林多的教会的圣徒们一起待的六个月的时候呢保罗曾经把这些道理都讲给他们的。
In verse 2 he says, Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things. But then he says, keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you.
因为在第二节里他说我称赞你们因你们凡事纪念我然后他说又坚守我所传给你们的。
So the traditions or ordinances, as it's sometimes translated, these were not the ordinances of Paul, because he said, I delivered them to you. They were given to Paul by God.
嗯，所以这里面中文学了一个词啊，这个英文里面是有一个 tradition， 就是这个传统，就是我传给你们的这个传统，或者我传给你们的这个做法。但是这里面要清楚的知道，这个不是保罗想出来的，因为他说保罗是我传递给你们的，也就是说这个不是从保罗起头的，是神告诉保罗，保罗再传给他们的。
That is, Paul had given those instructions orally.In a message, before they would be later written down as we have them here in this second verse, or third verse.
那在这个在之前保罗传给他们的时候呢是口头的，因为当时呢还没有写下这个哥林多前书，但是现在呢我们看到的是写下来的这个保罗所传给他们的教导了，就是从三节往后的内容。
And we have something similar in the Old Testament when Moses gave the statutes and judgments to Moses, and he instructed the people before he wrote the five books of Moses.
嗯，那么同样的情况呢，在旧约摩西的时代也出现过，就是摩西呢，先要把从神那里得到的一切的律法呀、诫命啊，都是先口头传给这个以色列人，然后呢，他在后面才写下了摩西五经，就是变成书面的了。
We don't have the apostles today, but we have the apostles' doctrine, which the early church, they continued steadfastly in the oral teachings of the apostles.
嗯，那我们今天呢是没有使徒了，但是我们有使徒留下来的这个写下来的这个教义啊。但是在初代教会，这个写下来的教义还没有成书之前呢，那初代教会的信徒们，他都是恒心遵守，使徒口头，传给他们的这些教导。
In Acts chapter 2 verse 42, we don't need to turn there, I'll just quote it. But it says, they continued, that is on the day of Pentecost, from the day of Pentecost on, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers.
那我们不用翻到那里了，我可以给大家读一下，就是使徒行传的二章的42节啊，他说他们都恒心，他们就是在五旬节那一天信主的人，他们都恒心遵守使徒的教训，彼此交接，拨饼，祈祷。
So that was the oral teaching that they gave, they continued steadfastly. Now we have the apostles' doctrine written down for us.
嗯，那时候呢，他们恒心遵守的使徒教训呢，都是使徒口头给他们提出来的教导的。但是现在呢，我们又有书面的这个使徒的教训了。
And one of the ordinances that the first ordinance that Paul picks up now and reminds them about is this ordinance of headship.
嗯，那么保罗当时在哥林多教会跟他们在一起的时候留下给他们留下了很多口头的教训，那么其中一个呢，就是他现在要提出来的，就是这个权柄顺序。
And there seems to be an emphasis here because he begins by saying, "But I want you to know," he says.
而且他这里呢特别想强调这个权柄的顺序，所以他第三节里特别的先说，我愿意你们知道。
And here we have the delegated authority from the sovereign God. It says that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God.
嗯，所以在这里我们可以看到神所建立的这个权柄的顺序是这样的，就是基督是个人的头，男人是女人的头，神是基督的头。
Now this is an important truth, as it was important for Paul to write to the Corinthians.
嗯，这是一个非常重要的真理，也是保罗要写给哥林多教会的一个重要的真理。
It's not very well understood today, and it's very often neglected.
嗯，那今天人们对这个真理呢，不是特别明白，而且呢，常常忽略。
The result then is confusion concerning God's intended orderly relationship between men and women and especially in the church.
那造成的结果呢，就是神本来特意有意的在教会里面立好的这个男人和女人不同的这个次序啊，就结果呢，人都不明白或者是不遵守，就造成了很多的混乱。
The effects can be seen in the age-old competition between sexes.
所以这个我们就在这个历史历代哈，很多世纪以来都看到这个男人和女人在相争啊，争这个主导权。
And rather than cooperation between the roles, there's often conflict.
本来呢是应该这个男性和女性之间彼此合作的，结果我们看到的呢都是彼此相争冲突。
And sometimes women have even been forcibly subjected to inferior status.
那曾经也历史上也有一段时间呢，就是女人呢不得不屈尊在男人之下，就是变成了一个次等公民。
And this disharmony and dishonors God, who created them in his image and in his likeness as equals.
那这种这个混乱呢，也没有办法使神得着这个荣耀啊，因为他本来不是这样造的，这种不和谐啊，其实是使神的荣耀有了亏缺。
This certainly isn't what God planned when he created our first parents.
因为他造我们第一对祖先亚当夏娃的时候，这不是神造的本来的面目。
For when he completed his work on the sixth day, the man and the woman standing before him were the crowning glory of his handiwork.
那么神造人了，造事的第六天啊，当人男人和女人都造完了以后呢，他们其实是带着荣耀的花环冠冕站在神的面前的，神是非常满意的。
They were given a co-dominion over the earth, and God blessed them and pronounced it what he saw as very good.
所以神当时呢是让他们共同来管理神所造的这个整个世界的，神也这样的宣告他们，然后神也说他所造的一切甚好。
Now, a question might be asked at this point.
那我们在这一点呢可能会问一个问题。
Can headship and equality be compatible?
就是这个权柄顺序是可以比较的吗？
Because headship has to do with authority, and is the one receiving authority somehow superior to the one who is ranked under?
因为这个既然这个有这个次序问题嘛，就有权柄。那么得着权柄那个人是不是就比没有权柄的人更高一级呢？那个没有权柄的人是不是就更低一级呢？
The answer, to this question is going to be found as we examine God's original pattern.
那这个答案呢，我们可以仔细的来看这个神在最初创造亚当夏娃的时候他所造的模式当中呢，就能找到答案。
So God's original plan for man, as we've already stated, was for Adam and Eve to have joint dominion over the earth.
那么神最初的计划呢，是让亚当和夏娃他们共同一起来统治这个全地的。
That's Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26.
就是创世纪的一章二十七节。
Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
不是二十七，是二十六节啊。神说，我们要照我们的形象，按照我们的样式造人，使他们管理海里的鱼，空中的鸟，地上的牲畜和全地，并地上所爬的一切昆虫。
So they were created to be united in their purpose, and they were to be equal in their personhood.
所以神造亚当和夏娃呢，他的目的呢是使他们联合起来，而且他们在人格上呢是完全平等的。
but they were to also be different in their roles. And this distinction is going to be brought out in the second chapter of Genesis.
但同时呢，他们虽然人格上是平等的，但是他们的扮演的角色啊，却是不同的。这样的角色上的区别呢，是在第二章能够看出来。
God formed Adam first, verse 7.
第二章第七节啊，是神先造了亚当。
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
耶和华神用地上的尘土造人，将生气吹在他鼻孔里，他就成了有灵的活人，名叫亚当。
So, the order of his creation placed him in the primary role as head of the human race. Go ahead.
那既然亚当是被先造的呢，所以就把他放在了神所造的这个整个人类里面啊，一个比较主要的头的这个位置上。
Now God next places the man into the garden that he had planted in Eden.
然后神造了这个男人亚当以后呢，就把他放在神为他所造的这个伊甸园里面。
Verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die.
15:16. 耶和华神将那人安置在伊甸园，使他修理看守。耶和华神吩咐他说，园中各样树上的果子你可以随意吃，只是分别善恶树上的果子你不可吃，因为你吃的日子必定死。
Now Adam is still by himself, as we said, and so he now is, of course, the head of the creation. There's none other.
那时候亚当还是一个人呢，对，我们都知道。那在神所有的被造物里面呢，亚当现在是头，因为只有他一个人，没有别人，所以他自然就是头。
And as such, God gave Adam three responsibilities.
那神呢给亚当了三个责任。
First, he was put into the garden to tend or work in it. The word is to tend as a gardener.
那首先呢，就是他要看管这个伊甸园啊，就是他是个看园的。
Now, the work would be good for him in order to fully exercise his newly created physical powers.
那这项工作对他来说是有益处的，可以让他充分的使用啊神所造的造给他的这个身体上的各样的功能。
But it would also exercise his mental powers.
而且呢，也能够使他的这个头脑的机制也得到锻炼。
The work would not be hard or difficult.
但这个工作不是说特别艰难、特别困难的。
But for him, it would be an exciting, joyful occupation to discover not only his own abilities, but also the wisdom of God that is hidden in the creation, waiting to be discovered.
那对他说这不是一个苦差事，而是一个令他兴奋的又使他很快乐的一个工作，因为他不仅可以充分使用神所造他的各样能力，而且他可以在这个过程中呢发现神在被造物当中所 体现出来的神的智慧。
So this would challenge, this first responsibility would challenge his physical and intellectual abilities.
所以神给他的这个第一个责任呢，就是看管修理这个园子啊，可以挑战他的这个体力以及头脑的各样的能力。
Second, to him was committed the responsibility to keep the garden or guard it.
那么第二个呢，就是要保护这个园子。
The idea of that word is to guard, to protect something.
那就是要看守，这个看守的词就是要保护的意思。
Now this same Hebrew word is used in chapter in chapter 3, verse 24.
在希伯来书的三章二十四节啊，用了同样一个词，就是用和这里面这个看守这个词是一样的。那第一个责任呢，应该是修理这个词。
After the fall, God had to drive out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life.
3:24. 不是希伯来书，还是那个创世纪三章的二十四节。于是把他赶出去了，又在伊甸园的东边安设基路伯和四面转动发火焰的剑，要把守生命树的道路。这个把守和这个看守是一个词。
The cherubim and the flaming sword were to protect Adam from going back into the garden and eating of the tree of life, which would have been terrible for him.
在这里这个基路伯和这个发火焰的剑呢，就是用来把守这个生命树，不让亚当和夏娃回来再去吃这个生命树上的果子的。
To live forever in his unfallen state would be hell on earth.
因为如果他们吃了这个生命树的果子，对他们是极其悲惨的，因为在他们的堕落的这个罪中啊，却不能死，一直活着的话，那就是像活在地狱里面一样。
So Adam therefore was to guard or protect the garden that God had given him as his responsibility.
所以亚当的第一个责任呢是修理照顾这个园子，第二个责任呢就是要看守要保护神所造的这个伊甸园。
Now the scriptures don't tell us how much God revealed to him about the fall of Lucifer and the presence of evil in the universe.
但圣经里没有启示我们啊，神到底关于这个堕落的路西法哈和这个邪恶的势力啊，有神告诉亚当有多少，神启示了他多少，这个圣经里没有告诉我们。
But the very fact that he was told to protect or guard the garden would have been enough to alert him to any possible threat from the outside world.
那既然神让亚当来保护这个园子啊，其实就是要让他明白，要让他有这个警惕性，就是这个周围呢是有这样的威胁的。
Now the third responsibility that he was given was the all-important commandment was committed to him concerning the tree that occupied the very center of the garden.
那第三个责任呢，就是在所有责任里面最重要的，所有的命令里面最重要的一个命令了，就是在园中的这棵树，关于这个园中这棵树的。
God's command to Adam not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the penalty that was attached to that commandment was entrusted to Adam alone.
然后呢这个神说他不能吃分别善恶树上的果子，而且吃的时候呢毕竟有后果，而且他这个是唯独交代给亚当的。
Later as head,It would be his responsibility to pass on the commandment to Eve after she was created.
那等以后夏娃被造出来了以后呢，因为亚当是头，所以他有责任呢要把神的这个命令呢也要转告给夏娃。
Now this prohibition that was given of not eating the tree was a test designed by God to exercise his will. It was a moral test of his spirit to whether he would obey God's word or not.
所以神给了亚当这样的一个命令啊，就是不能吃这个善恶分别善恶树上的果子，对亚当来说呢是一个测试。
我会做很多东西，我还会做特技调乳腺增生。
就是要测试啊，亚当啊，在这个道德上，在意愿里面，他是愿不愿意顺服神的命令。
So Adam's personal responsibilities for the care of the garden and the protection of the garden was defined.
嗯，所以亚当，他的这个责任呢，就是看管，就是照顾这个园子和保守这个园子呢，都是定下来的，确定好的。
And those instructions were given to him before Eve was created, because he would then, as head, be later responsible for that.
嗯，而且他神给了他这些责任，给了这些命令呢，都是在夏娃被造之前，所以他是作为人类的头呢，他是要对此负责的。
But God's plan for mankind is much larger than just the things that happen in the garden.
嗯，但是神对人的计划啊，的范围广得很多，远远超过伊甸园这个范围。
That is, man was to have dominion over the whole earth and all the newly created inhabitants that were in it.
嗯，就是不仅人的责任不仅在伊甸园这一点地方，而是整个全地，整个全地神的创造的万有都是归他管理。
And it's there in verse 18 that we find the first not good of the Bible.
嗯，然后呢，在第下面的十八节里面呢，就讲到了第一次讲到了不好这个词，在圣经里面第一次提到不好这个词。
And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him.
嗯，耶和华神说，那人独居不好，我要为他造一个配偶帮助他。
God knew that to have dominion over the whole earth was too great a responsibility for Adam to fulfill by himself.
嗯，因为神知道要管理全地以及全地的受造物呢，这个责任对亚当来说呢太大，他一个人呢是完不成的。
Now God would need to make a helper that could perfectly supply all that Adam needed to fulfill his responsibility.
嗯，那神要帮他造一个帮助者，能够正好完全的满足亚当所需要的一切的帮助，使他能够很好的完美的完成这个责任。
So God's solution to this is that he said, I'll make him a helper that's suitable or comparable for him.
嗯，所以神解决这个问题的办法呢，就是为他造一个适合他的的配偶来帮助他。
Now this word helper that's applied to the woman that he is going to make is a very special word in the scriptures.
嗯，这里面啊，用来指这个为亚当所造的这个女性啊，这个配偶，它叫帮助者。这个帮助者在圣经里面是非常独特的一个词。
In the scriptures, this specific Hebrew word is never used of man's help, but always of God's help.
嗯，然后这里面这个帮助者这个词，在整个希伯来语的圣经里面呢，它永远都是指从神来的帮助，而不是从人来的帮助。
For example, Psalm 121 and verses 1 and 2.
嗯，比如说诗篇的121篇的一和二节。
He says, the psalmist writes, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
嗯，我要向山举目，我的帮助从何而来？我的帮助从造天地的耶和华而来。这里有帮助这个词。
And so it never is used of the help of man or anybody else, but God's help.
嗯，所以这里面这个希伯来这个词指帮助这个词呢，它从来都是用在从神的帮助，而从来不用在人的帮助上。
And when God makes something, he makes it perfect.
嗯，而且神如果造一个什么东西呢，他造的一定是完美的。
Now turn back to Genesis chapter 2.
嗯，我们再回到这个创世纪的二章。
He says, I will, in verse 18, he says, I will make a helper suitable for him.
18节，耶和华说，我要为他造一个适合他的帮助者。
But before he makes this helper, God brings all the animals, male and female, to Adam to give them names.
但是造这个帮助者之前呢，神把所有地上的动物的一对一公一母都带到这个亚当的面前。
And so immediately after verse 18, verse 19 reads, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its names. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him.
所以18节下面紧接19节呢，耶和华神用土所造成的野地各样走兽和空中各样飞鸟都带到那人面前，看他叫什么，那人怎样叫各样的活物，那就是他的名字。那人便给一切牲畜和空中飞鸟、野地走兽都起了名，只是那人没有遇见配偶帮助他。
Now the object of this interesting exercise, it seems, was not only to introduce AdamTo all the living subjects of his kingdom.
所以神呢把这个各样的动物都带到亚当的面前啊，这个一个很有趣的举动呢，有不仅是要把亚当啊介绍给他所有他要管理的这些走兽和飞禽。
But also it was a demonstration, of his analytic or intellectual ability in giving them proper names.According to their kind.
而且呢，这是也是一个很好的机会来操练或者展示亚当的这个智力啊，因为他可以根据每个动物的特点给他们起合适的名字。
But most importantly, the purpose was to awaken in Adam the need for a helper and a desire for companionship.
而且呢不仅有这两个目的，还有个最重要的目的呢就是唤醒亚当啊他心里的这样一种渴求，就是渴求一个帮助者，一个配偶，一个伴侣，这样的一个渴求。
Because it says that, Adam, but for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable for him.
因为这句话啊，他说只是那人，也就是亚当，他没有遇见配偶帮助他。
He must have seen each of those animals that had come, and birds and fish and so on, and they each had their corresponding partner, male and female, it says, made he them.
所以亚当为什么会这么想呢？因为他可能看见这个无论是牲畜啊，是飞鸟啊，还是野地的走兽啊，他们都是一对一对的，一公一母的来到他的面前的。
Now, but God does much more than just create a female.
但是神造一个就是母性的这个呢，这个目的远比这个要更大。
He does something incredibly different.
他做的这个比这个真的是完全不同的和这个公和这个男性。
The satisfaction of Adam's deepest need would not be made by individually creating a female separately as he had done with the other creatures.
就是为了满足亚当里面最深的那个对配偶这个帮助者的这个渴求啊，神不能另外单独就造一个女性给他，因为不能像其他动物那样，其他动物就是单独造一个公的再造一个母的，但是在人不能这样做。
What God would do would be something unique and original.
那神在造女人的这个创造方法呢是独特的，而且是以前从来没有用过的。
God would draw out from within Adam himselfHis very physical substance and immaterial nature, the necessary materials to make the perfect complement to him.
那这个方法呢，就是从亚当自己的身体里取出一部分的这个血肉来，然后来造一个配偶，来满足他的需要。
Out of one comes two.
那就是从一生成二。
In this way, only when they are joined again together as one, man or woman, would either be complete in themselves again.
嗯，所以既然是从一造成的二啊，所以只有当这两个人再重新合为一体的时候呢，才能使两个人都得以完全。如果不，他们不合为一体呢，两个人都是变得不完全的。
So God, places Adam in a deep sleep.
嗯，所以神呢就让亚当沉睡了。
He takes the materials from the side of Adam.
嗯、他就从亚当的肋旁呢取出一部分他的血肉来。
And he makes a woman.、
嗯、然后他又用这部分他的这个身体里取出来的东西呢造了一个女人。
And when Adam awakes, God presents his bride to him.、
嗯、当亚当醒过来以后呢、神就把他的新娘带到了他的面前。
And Adam in rapture explains, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh.She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.
嗯，那亚当呢，就一下子被夏娃迷住了，然后他就说：“这是我骨中的骨，肉中的肉，可以称她为女人，因为她是从男人身上取出来的。”
And the picture of Christ in the church is continued in this image.
Sorry, Eric.
The picture of Christ and the church is pictured in the way that.Adam and Eve were created.
嗯，所以呢，耶稣和教会之间的这个关系啊，就是用亚当和夏娃来预表的。
It was during the deep sleep of death that God drew forth from the side of the last Adam, Christ, the blood to sanctify and create a bride for His Son.
嗯。也同样也是一样的，在那三个小时大黑暗里面，也就是相当于亚当沉睡的那段时间呢，神从这个基督的肋旁让他流出血来，这个血呢，就是使他的新娘成圣，也使他新娘被造出来，就是教会被得以建造。
And when Christ was raised from the dead, God gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body.
嗯、然后等到基督从死里复活以后呢，神就使他成为这个教会的元首啊。
That is in Ephesians chapter 1, again we read verses 22 and 23, and we don't need to turn there for the sake of time, but I'll just quote that verse.
嗯，那这就是我们反复的在以弗所书的一章的22和23节里读到的，就是教会是他的身体啊。
And so he says,He gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body.
嗯，又将万有伏在他的脚下，使他为教会做万有之首。
The fullness of him, or the completion of him who fills all in all.
嗯，教会是他的身体啊，是那充满万有者所充满的，或者是那充满万有者的满足。
So in the creation of Adam and Eve, we clearly see the.God's master plan pictured in their creation of.
所以在亚当和夏娃的这个受造的过程中呢，我们就可以看见，就是将来神的这个最伟大的创造，他的大师的杰作，就是教会的这个是怎么被创造出来，以及和他和基督的之间的关系。
Now Adam as a type of Christ is appointed head.And the woman as a type of the church is created to complete him.
嗯，所以亚当呢就是基督的预表，就是表明他们两个都是头的位置。然后女人呢就是教会的预表，她是为了来满足这个，使这个头更丰满的，更满足的。
The old Hebrew rabbis had a saying.
嗯，在希伯来的这个一个拉比啊，他有一个著名的一句话。
The woman was not taken from the foot of Adam to be trampled on.
嗯，那女人呢，不是从这个亚当的脚下取出一块东西来造的，这样亚当就可以把它踩在脚下。
Nor from his head that she should rule over him.
嗯，那也不是从亚当的头里面取出一块东西造的，那这样女人就会统治男人了。
But she was taken from his side to be loved and cherished.
而是从亚当的 肋旁啊，就是心脏这个部分被取出来的，是为了让亚当去爱他，去珍视他的。
And from under his arm to be protected.
嗯，而且要把女人呢保护在亚当的膀臂之下。
So in summary, man was appointed as the head under God, and the woman in the subordinate role as helper.
嗯，所以总结一下呢，就在亚当和夏娃这个被造过程中，我们看到呢，男人呢是被造出来是做头的，然后女人呢是做一个帮助者的、支持者的地位。
Again, this is seen in the order of their creation. Man was created first, then the woman.
嗯，所以这是我们从他们被造的次序中能看出来，是男人先造，然后是女人。
It's also seen in the way that they were created.
嗯，而且也能从他们被造的方式里面能看出来这个结论。
The man was first formed, then the woman was taken out of man for the man.
是男人先造，然后呢是从男人的中间的一部分造出女人，而且造女人的目的也是为了男人而造的。
But both Adam and Eve were created in the image and the glory of God.
嗯，但是不管亚当还是夏娃呢，他们都是按照神的形象和荣耀造的。
In their personhood, they are united in purpose.
嗯，然后他们是为了他们的目的呢，是为了联合起来。造他们的目的是使他们联合。
And they were to have dominion over, they were to, together that rather, they were to have dominion.
嗯，因为他们要一起来这个统治全地。
But there could only be one head in this union.
嗯，但是在这个二人组成的联合体里面呢，只能有一个头。
And that authority with the accompanying headship was delegated to Adam.
嗯，那这个做头的这个权柄的这个地位身份呢，是给了亚当了，给了男人了。
Now this is God's created order, and it has nothing whatever to do with superiority or inferiority.
嗯，那这是神所造的这个次序，它跟这个人格上谁高等一点，谁低等一点，谁尊贵一点和谁低微一点没有任何的关系。
This is established by the fact.That in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3, it stated that God is the head of Christ, and yet the Son claimed equality with the Father.
嗯，所以这个就是哥林多前书的这个11章里面啊，就是这个权柄三节权柄顺序里面的这个基础的这个道理，背后道理就是这样的，就是基督是神是基督的头，但是其实神和基督是平等的，是同等的。
The Lord Jesus said, I and my Father are one.
因为主耶稣自己说，他说我和我父是同为一的。
In the Trinity, there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
嗯，因为三位一体的神呢，是包括圣父、圣子、圣灵的。
They are co-equal in personhood.
他们在位格上，在人格上都是平等的。
But Christ, in order to effect our redemption, he humbled himself in the incarnation. When he left the glory, he shared with his Father and submitted to God as his head.
嗯，但是基督为了完成救赎我们的这个工作呢，他谦卑自己，他离开了天上的。荣耀，他来到地上，取了肉身，取了人的形象，他把自己放在了父的这个权柄之下。
And he became completely obedient unto death in order to accomplish our redemption.
而且他完全的谦卑，以至于谦卑死在十字架上，是为了最终能够完成这个救赎的这个旨意，这个计划。
And so, some questions might be asked at this point.
嗯，可能我们讲到这里呢，我会问出一些问题来。
What happened in the Garden of Eden to cause the fall?
嗯，那就是在伊甸园里到底发生了什么导致这个人的堕落呢？人类的堕落呢？
And why is it that God holds Adam accountable as the primary offender when it was Eve who sinned first.
嗯，那为什么是其实是夏娃先犯罪？为什么最后神是问责？问到了亚当身上呢？
And what are the implications of the fall for us today?
嗯，那么这个堕落对我们来说，对我们今天的意义又是什么呢？
Well, we've already noted that along with God's appointment of headship to Adam, there were also responsibilities that he was to fulfill.
嗯，因为我们知道，既然神给了亚当这个权柄啊，这个头的位置呢，那他就是需要去履行责任，他也需要去承担责任的。
There was a failure in headship in the garden.
嗯，那么在伊甸园里呢，实际上是这个权柄次序出现了问题，出现了失败。
Next week we're going to look in detail at what took place there in the garden to cause the deception of Eve and the disobedience of Adam and the results that we find today.
嗯，那我们下个星期呢，我们详细查考在伊甸园里到底发生了什么导致人类的堕落，就是夏娃是怎么被骗的，那亚当呢是怎么被逆神的。
And so, next week, the title is Failure in the Garden.
所以我们下星期这个学习的这个题目啊，就是在伊甸园里的失败。
May the Lord bless you. Mr. Summers, would you please just close us off there, please?
嗯，好，我们请 Harold 长老给我们做个总结。
Very good. Yes, thank you, Eric, for that. I just want to go back to remind you then that the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, I believe it is, where Eric started. Verse 32, where Eric started, says, there is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church, and the Christ and the church are parallel to the husband and the wife, parallel to Adam and Eve. These parallels are what we're following in our study, and we learn about the relationship between Christ and the church, and therefore men and women, because what we learned about from Adam and Eve and their relationship together. Sorry, Yanling.
It's okay. 刚Eric 今天讲的很好啊。我们再回到他最初说的那个以弗所书的五章的三十二节，他说这是极大的奥秘，但我是指着基督和教会说的。所以我们在这里看到呢，有这样几对的关系啊，就是基督和教会是一对，然后呢，他对应的呢是丈夫和妻子是另外一对关系，还有呢就是亚当和夏娃这样一对关系。所以我们是这三对关系呢，就是都是应用同样的一个原则。那我们学习了亚当和夏娃呢，我们就能够明白基督和教会的关系，以及男人和女人丈夫和妻子之间的关系。这是我们这个学习的一个主线，就是这几对人的之间的关系。
Very good. Well, the thrilling thing is that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us and wants us to be His bride. And when we trust Him as Savior, we become His bride. He becomes the husband. We're the bride. What a beautiful thing.
嗯，但是让我们高兴呢，就是基督爱我们，他让我们成为他的新娘。当我们信靠耶稣基督的时候呢，我们就成为他的新娘，他就成为我们的丈夫了。这真的是非常好的。
And then the question is, if the bride is both male and female on the earth, not in heaven, but on the earth, if we're both male and female, how do we relate to one another? And that's what we're studying.
嗯，但是有一个问题就是，既然他这个新娘啊，的组成既有男人也有女人，那我们在这地上还生活的时候呢，我们怎么处理男人和女人之间的关系呢？这是我们要学习的主要的话题。
Very good. More on this next week. Let's pray.
我们下星期呢继续来学习更多关于这方面的真理，我们一起来祷告。
Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that you loved us to go to the cross in order to get for yourself a bride, and in so doing, you made it possible for us to be that bride.
主，我们感谢您，您愿意走向十字架为我们而死，是为了使自己能够娶到一个新娘，我们也感谢您让我们能够成为这新娘。
But we also know, Lord, that not everybody is part of the bride of Christ. It's just those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior.
但是我们知道不是每一个人都能够成为这个新娘的一份子的，而是那只有接受耶稣基督做他们个人救主的人才能成为新娘的一份子。
And so, Lord, as we learn these lovely truths, we pray that each one will say, Lord Jesus, I want you to save me. I want you to forgive my sins so that I can be part of the bride and enter into all the blessings.
主啊，我盼望今天所有听到这真理的人都愿意说，主啊，我想要得救，我想要你能够赦免我的罪，我想要成为你的新娘的一份子，能够进到永恒当中。
So Lord, we give you thanks for tonight and all the truths that we've learned. Help us, we pray, to live them as the humble bride of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name.
主，我们感谢您今天教导我们的真理，也盼望您能够让我们活出一个谦卑的新娘所应该活出的生命。我们奉耶稣基督的名祷告。
Amen.
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 Thank you.